All right, I want to read just a little bit to you, and I'm going to just try to talk to you because I'm kind of tired tonight. I know you can tell that. I know you can kind of tell, you know, that a lot of the zip and vigor and vitality is kind of taken out. But like I said, sometimes I get kind of tired, and you do too. And I just like to talk with you. It's not always bad to be tired. Because a lot of times we get the tiredness, you know, we get a little tired, then our vigor, vim, and vitality slows down, and then the Spirit of God's able to come in. A lot of times a person's dying, you know, they lost a lot of their strength. Maybe they've gotten old and they can't be at themselves in their physical being anymore. And because of this, they drift off into trances, and their spirit begins to leave the body as their strength. Outward strength begins to subside. The inner strength begins to, you know, reach out and make contact with the world out yonder. What it is, their spirit is departing from the body, and it's going where it's supposed to go, you know. Whether it's into that world of demons or that world of godliness, it's departing that body. See, you're at the end of the trail. Like your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Why was that said? Because old men have always seen visions. But he said, come a day, be such a tiring thing and weary thing that even young men will be so laden down and so crushed until their strength will begin to give away and their strength will fail and heart attacks will begin to happen and they'll begin to drift into visions as well. They'll begin to drift into them. So then, we're living in a wonderful time, a wonderful time. God is a spirit. And God is wanting to help you, and God wanted to do something for you. And how many of you know that when you go to see a revelation, that's a vision? How many know that? See, it just keeps on. It starts with a revelation because it's your spirit getting into His. And then after a while, as it gets into His, then it begins to turn into a vision. The eyes of your understanding, beholding, you begin to see a vision. A lot of times up here, I can't get into revelation much because your spirits are not hungry. See, I talk to your intellectual mind. When a preacher talks to you, like he goes out in the world and he preaches to the sinners, what he does, he gets full of the Spirit of God and he just gets up there and he begins to drive and pound away, and it don't make any difference whether your spirits are drawing or not. He's just pounding away and he's preaching and he's plowing like a man breaking the clods. He's just going down through the field and breaking the clods and tearing up the roots and going right on. It doesn't make any difference. But he isn't going to get any revelation over to you like that. He just preach repentance, repent. Well, he can really go to war. That's why we've had such a great revival under the tents and across the nation. Men that the Spirit of God being poured out on men and women alike can get out there and do that. But now when it begins to change over, the very mind of God begins to speak, It's different then. Like in Paul's day, look how many of them was preaching. But how many of them had the revelation? Even Peter with the keys said there's some things hard to be understood. Isn't that right? Paul didn't say anything about it being hard to him to understand, did he? Because God gave it to him. So then he said, pray that God will grant unto us the spirit of revelation. The difference was Paul was sent to the Gentiles, and the revelation belonged to the Gentile church. Isn't that right? Because that was a spiritual church. Peter was sent over here to the Jews, and to them belongs the ordinance, keeping of the ordinance and the natural word, the law. Is that right? So there was a difference. How do you understand what I'm saying? So I come in here a lot of times, and I can't get it over to you. I just start preaching at you because you don't have any spiritual interest, any spiritual hunger, any spiritual thirst, and I can't talk with you. Now, I could get upset about that. I could really get upset. Jesus got angry with them because of the hardness of their heart. See, I could get upset. I'd say, now look here, fellas, I get you down here in the fellowship room, and you sit there, and you don't say a word, and you get real hungry, and you listen, and the anointing just talks. And then we get up here and we try to give something to the ladies and to you and all of us together and to the stranger that comes in, and no interest. Freeze up. No nothing. So I just have to beat and bang and peck trying to get through the old shell. That's a little bit unfair, wouldn't you say? I know that Jesus took the disciples off. It's always God's way to take the disciples aside. And then the Lord, one time they said unto him, said, Lord, why is it that you speak these things in parables to them out there? There wasn't no other way to preach it to them. That's the reason. Just like it's hard to get it over to you out here. He said, for it's not given unto them to know the mysteries. And he said, but when I take you aside and I talk to you aside, then it's given unto you to know the mysteries. A lot of times God will take somebody like Peter or James or John, somebody that's spiritual, up on the mountain, and he'll show them something like the transfiguration. Isn't that right? Like Joseph will take his brethren in the secluded places to show them something, but the world is shut out and the Egyptians can't get in. What is that? That's closed quarters. What are those closed quarters? Entering into the holies of holies. He'll take you into the holies of holies and shut the door and they can't get in. You know why that is? Because some people are not spiritual. You just have to talk to their natural intellect up here. But some people are spiritual, and so God, who's a spirit, he just reaches out there and he gets their spirit and he says, come on over here, I want to visit with you. And they go right into the house there with him. And they just lock the door and right in there they fellowship. And he tells them things. Is that right? You say, well, I don't see that. Well, that's what Paul said. He said, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. He said, I can't tell you. But he said, I know I took a trip. Somebody said, you get your little dope, you know, and you take a trip. Paul took a trip and didn't have any dope. He said, I took a trip. Said, I don't know just exactly what happened on the trip. Said, but I was in the third heaven and said, I saw some things that I can't tell you. Took a trip. Now, see, in other words, you see things, if you told people, it would tear them all to pieces because, like, there might be a Pharaoh among you. There might be a Judas among you. And God don't want you to torment him before his time. God don't want you to mess with him. He's got his purpose. That would wreck everything. Just let Judas go on. Let him go on. Just let him go on. Don't say anything to him. Just let him go on. The rain on the just and the unjust. Don't pull up the tare. You'll get the wheat. Just let him go on. At the harvest, God will cut it all down. He'll send out the reapers and they'll gather in the grain and everything will be separated. Is that right? All right, I want to read a little. Now, I just want to talk with you a little bit if you'll let me. If you'll just be patient and listen. And I want to talk with you and just relate a few things that I see happening. Okay, now, if I stumble and stagger around, you pray for me and ask the Lord to help me. I want to read from the 19th chapter of the book of Matthews. And I want to start at the 16th verse. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing must I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. I want you to notice something there before we read on down. Jesus asked this man a question and he answered him. But you know what this young fella did? He lied to him. How do you know he lied to him? From my youth up, he said, I've kept these. And then Jesus reproved him. Because Jesus said, I shall love thy neighbor as thyself. When Jesus put him to the test to see if he really had done what he said, Jesus said, go share with your neighbor if you love him as yourself. Said he went away sorrowful. He didn't want to separate with his possessions. Is that right? See, he had lied about it. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, a lot of people, I want to stop right there. A lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, I've heard them tell me this and others. They say, what that means is over in Jerusalem there's a place called the needle eye. And the camel that goes through that needle's eye, he has to, you know, take all the load off of him. And he can't get in unless he takes all the burden off of him because it's just big enough for the camel to get in. That wasn't what he was saying at all. You know, the devil likes to explain away what God says. And you say, why do you say that, Brother Pye? Because if you can take all of it off, then the camel can get in. Is that right? Is that right? So that makes a difference. Now, it is a good typical thought that we can't have worldly goods and get into the kingdom without unloading and then pass through the needle's eye. That's a good thought. But Jesus didn't say here that it was the needle's eye. He said a needle's eye. Is that right? All right, now, he said in another place in teaching this, let's read on down right here and see what he says here. Again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? In other words, that is to say, Jesus, most everybody in our day has wealth. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible. Now come on, folks. I want you to listen. These people that explain away the word of God, did they say that it was impossible for that camel to go through that needle's eye? Is that what they're saying? They said it was just big enough for the camel to get through, didn't they? It couldn't have been the eye of the needle Jesus was speaking of, because he said with men it was impossible for that camel to get through the eye he was talking about. Is that right? So you can't explain it away. That wasn't what he's talking about at all. He said, with men, it's impossible to put a camel through a needle's eye. I would say it would be, wouldn't you? All right, he said, but with God, all things are possible. How many believe God could put the camel through the needle's eye? I believe he could do it, don't you? Jesus walked through the wall, the door. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? I want you to listen to this. You people that are willing to give up everything in your heart to turn to God. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Somebody would say, well, that's just for the 12 apostles, Brother Pine. Well, let's see. And everyone that hath, now see there, everyone. You catch that? Not the 12 apostles, but everyone. For everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake, my name's sake, he says, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life, but many that are first shall be last and the last shall be first. All right, now, how do you understand what I'm saying? Everyone, somebody said, you're not supposed to quit loving your mother and your brother and your sister. You're not supposed to leave the city where they're at and the town where they're at. Not supposed to do that. Oh, you're not supposed to do that unless you want 100-fold. Just stay wherever you want to. Do whatever you want to. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, you mean that I ought to run off and leave my wife and divorce my wife? I don't read where Peter divorced his wife to you.
But he said, we've forsaken all. Now, what is Peter saying? He simply was stating that we have sought the kingdom of God first, regardless to the comforts of our wife, our children, our personal desires, or lands, or houses, or whatnot. Is that right? And because we have done this, Lord, you say that you're going to take care of our wife and children and land and houses and provide all that we need in this world. For in another scripture it's recorded that no man has given it up in this world but what he won't receive manifold more in this present world, this present life, and then in the world to come, everlasting life. Is that right? So then it can clearly be seen here that Jesus is trying to tell us something. All right? Now, I can see, I don't know whether you can see it tonight or not, but I can see something here tonight that is really outstanding to me. I don't get afraid because we're not going to take up an offering. I know a lot of evangelists, you know, they pick the little widow story. They pick things like this so that they can get everybody worked up into a condition to where they can rob them. I know their cunning ways and their craftiness. And I know what they're trying to do, but that's not what we do here. I want to say something before I get along here. A fellow came to me the other night, and he told me how much he could have got out of the congregation. When he got through, I told him where the congregation had promised manifold more than that. That is to say, people are judging you and evaluating you according to the dollar, according to the ability of what you can give them in the natural and what you can do for them in this present world. Is that right? But I'm not interested in that because God is not interested in that. God's not interested in what you can give him. God is interested in what he can give you. Don't you know that God tonight could fix it to where not one widow would be in the land? Not one sick person would be in the land? Not one problem would be in the land? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, how could God do that? By doing away with all the poverty. God could do away with everything by just bringing the consummation of the world. How do you know that? Changing the order of it. But did you know that God's hands are literally tied to the extent that God can't help the widow, and God cannot help the needy, and God cannot change the condition of poverty and the condition of the elements and the condition of the world except that you give him a place in your life, or somebody can give to God a place in their life to change the situation? How many of you know that's true? Because of God's character, Brother Bill, because of God's state of being, because God is what he is, and because man has sinned, and because his iniquities have separated between him and God, things have been taken out of God's hand. Now you say, now wait a minute, Brother Pine. No, it's the truth. Why did Jesus say the prince of this world cometh, but he hath no part in me? Why did Jesus say that? Did he lie? He never lied. He said that the prince of this world cometh. Who is the prince of this world? The prince of the powers of the air. The prince that's over the demons. Is that right? Because Adam, the creation of God, lost it to Satan. Therefore, it is a dark world. It is a place of evil. And God cannot come down there. There is no way. Because God cannot fellowship evil. Is that right? God cannot fellowship darkness. Somebody say, well, why not? Because as I said the other day, God's the great light. Anywhere there's darkness, when God comes around, there's no more darkness. because light expels darkness. God could never walk in the darkness. God could never enter into the darkness. Somebody say, well, Brother Pike, you confuse me. I don't understand why God couldn't come down here and take a look at things. How could God ever do that? How could God ever take a look at what's going on in darkness? That'd be impossible. God is the great light, and if God come up to take a look, to go into a dark region to take a look to see what was going on, why, there'd be nothing to look at. It'd all vanish into nothing. There wouldn't be nothing for God to see. Therefore, God can't do it. Just like it's impossible for God to lie. How do you understand what I'm saying? God can't do it. Wherever there is darkness, God is not present. Wherever God is present, there is no darkness. Is that right? So then God could never do that. So then what must God do? Here we are, people that have gotten away from God, out in darkness. The carnal mind's got a hold of them. They're out in darkness. And God wants to know what's going on. Why? So that he can evaluate the situation. So that he can tell what's going on and understand what he's got to do. Understand how to save his people. How to deliver them from what's happening. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, that's absurd. Why doesn't God just come down and let the darkness vanish away and just pick up his people and take them on home? Now look, you that are spiritual minded, you know he could never do that. How do you know that God couldn't do that? Somebody said, why couldn't he do that? He couldn't do that because we are born in iniquity. Born in sin, shaped in iniquity. And if God came down, not only would the darkness vanish away, but we would disintegrate into nothing. Because we are taken with that darkness and part of that darkness. Therefore, he can't come near us. The devil has got his hands tied to that extent. And yet the devil hasn't tied God's hands. But because of his children, a feller, he'd go over here and he'd take a little child. He'd pick up Gary's little boy and take him back over yonder somewhere and hide him in the darkness. Then he called Gary back over here in the world of light. And he says to him, you can't do anything. Because if you do, I'll kill this little fella. Like a few days ago, some feller got his girlfriend's little children, took them over there and told them that at 5 o'clock in the evening, said, I'm going to kill them. They surrounded the house. The law did, but he killed them. And they found him. He shot them all in the head. He killed him. You understand what I'm saying? See, the devil's got a hold of God's children. And he's got them over here in bondage. He's got them away from God, and God can't do anything. God can't get near them. So what does God have to do? He has to send Brother Frank Taylor. He has to send Brother Gary. He has to send Brother Hollis. He has to have a human being. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? He has to have a near kinsman, somebody like Jesus, that's made of flesh and bone, that can go down there and be made sin to walk among them and be a veil, and then God, the great light, get on the inside of that veil and walk in the midst of the stones of fire and come down there and begin to look around. And then when God in a human form, God in man, begins to look around in the garden, he begins to say, what's wrong, Brother Gary? He can come down there without causing you to vanish away into nothing, without destroying you. Look in the Old Testament. When God came down on the mountain over there, he told him, he said, I'm going to come down on this mountain. He said, if there's so much as a hair, that is a rabbit, if there's so much as a hair come near this mountain, he said, he'll be thrust through with a dart. He'll be killed. I don't want anybody coming near the mountain. He said, every one of you, sanctify yourselves. Moses warned them, said, purify yourself, sanctify yourself, clean up, he said. Because if you even anywhere near this mountain, when this great light begins to appear, if you're anywhere near this mountain, he said, something's going to happen to you. He said, clean up, folks. Don't come near the mountain until you clean up. Is that right? They couldn't even have fellowship with their own companion. Because we're born in iniquity, shaped in iniquity. So he said, don't come near this mountain. And God said, there's only one fellow can come up here. Ain't but one man among you that lives clean enough, that lives holy enough, that lives righteous enough to come up here in this mountain. Don't let anybody else come, he said. Somebody said, who is that? He said, my servant Moses. Is that right? Why? Because he had to have a man in the earth to typify Jesus. Is that right? Moses, that prophet, Jesus, that prophet likened to Moses, said, let Moses come up here. I'm going to give you a type and a shadow. Here this man Moses that separated himself, born to proper child, that's been separated for God's sake, kept out here for 40 years in the wilderness to purify himself, to cleanse himself up, kept away from everything. Somebody said, what are you talking about? Somebody said he was out there with his wife just like everybody else. No, he wasn't. How many of you know that later on his father brought his wife to him? How many of you know that? I've kept him here. I've made him a deliverer. Is that right? Let him come up here. Don't let anybody else come up in the mountain. And so then, when he walked up into the mountain, God was with him. And Moses said, I did exceedingly tremble when I saw this great power. When I looked upon it, he said, I exceedingly tremble because of the greatness of this power and the presence of this great light. He said, it shook me. But said, don't let anybody else come up. Now, what was it? It was Jesus. See, the Lord himself dwells in that light under which no man can approach unto. No man can come near that light but Jesus. I've got one person in the earth, that's Jesus. And Jesus can come into the presence of light. Is that right? No other person can come into it. Let no other person come into it. Jesus alone dwells in the midst of the presence of that great light into which no man can approach. Somebody said, let Moses put a veil over himself. Not only is it that we cannot look upon the great light, but Moses being in the presence of the great light, we can't even look on Moses. Are you listening to me? Now, why was that? Moses was made God unto Aaron. Isn't that right? Moses being God unto Aaron, being a type of God, he had to put on that veil that typified the body of the Lord Jesus that God could show forth through the veil. Isn't that right? God always hides himself behind the badger skin. Isn't it right? Always he hides himself behind the badger skin. Why? Because the light is so great that your weaknesses, your condemnation, all of this that has hold of you by the powers of Satan, if this great light broke out to you, it would wreck your mind. It would destroy you. Somebody said, well, I don't believe that. I know you don't believe that because you're an unbeliever. I know that. But that doesn't make it of none effect. The Bible said, can your unbelief make the faith of God of none effect? Can it? You don't believe it. I know you don't believe it, but it's true anyhow. You understand what I'm saying? God hides himself behind the badger skin because he can't come too close to you. Look, just what light we've had shining around here. It's almost killed you. It's almost destroyed you. Somebody said, I'm confused. I can't figure it out. I've got to get away from here. Come on, folks. Is that what you said? I can't stand it. I got to get away from here. I'm tore up. We just had a little light shine around here. Somebody said, let your little light shine. Brother Pikes, just let your little light shine a little bit. Get confused, tore up, wreck you. Somebody said, bless God, I can't get this. I can't cut this. Somebody said, I'm going out here to do like I feel I want to do. Destroying you. Just a little light coming forth. I get around you. I start bringing out a little light, and what do? You resent me. Is that right? Is that right, Brother Taylor? In other words, when I try to tell you something, all of a sudden you resent it. What's the matter with you? It's a condemnation. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness can't comprehend it. The darkness can't get a hold of it. The darkness wars against it. Fights against it, but the darkness can't prevail. Because the Bible said God will destroy the man of perdition with the brightness of his coming. This bright light destroys you as it comes. You resent it. You fight against it. You war against it. You find fault with it. It's destroying you. It's destroying you. You know what's the matter? Because that light coming down from out of heaven, when it hits that white, clean, holy, upright heart, that light reflects it back. Like you've heard me tell the little story, I tried it one time. I laid my hands on a black car. It burned me. The sun was fierce. The heat was fierce. I laid my hand on a white car, and it didn't burn me at all, though the sun was fierce. Now, what was the difference? Because the carnal mind is darkness. It absorbs the glory. It takes the glory to its own self. It's smart, intellectual, figures it out for itself. Wants everybody to see how smart it is. That takes the glory away from God. You understand? It takes God's glory. But when we turn to Christ and look up to God, our hearts are clean and holy and upright, then we reflect the glory back to God, and we don't absorb the wrath and the heat of the fiery indignation of God that shall destroy the adversary at the coming with the great light. I don't resent God. I don't resent God and Brother Taylor. I don't resent God and Brother Gary. I don't resent God and Brother Hollis. I love the appearing of the Lord. Everyone that loves his appearing, they shall see him as he is, and the transformating power of that glory and of that appearing shall change them into the very image of the living God. Is that right? See, I love his appearing. All them that love his appearing. How can you love his appearing when you're not right? How can you love his appearing when you're not pure in heart? How can you love his appearing when you're hoarding your goods and your finance, and you won't pray and you won't fast and you won't fellowship, and you won't be concerned about the things of God? You won't sacrifice your own attitude, but like the rich young ruler, you want to keep your possessions, your ways, and not swear to your own hurt. Then where does that leave God? Here comes the Lord. Here he comes in his fullness, in his full measure, appearing in the brightness of his coming. Appearing. And what happens? The world resents him. The world doesn't want him. The world's contrary to him. And so then the wrath of his indignation burns you up, destroys you with the brightness of his coming. Why? Because you willfully give place to the demon spirits when you know that they're there, and the Word has told you that they're there, and God's Word's tried to help you eradicate them and take them out and do something and get rid of them, but you refuse to do it. You won't do it. You're going to keep it. Go your own way. How many times have I approached some of you individually and told you the spirits that's in your life and the wrong that's in your life and what you're doing, and you won't do anything about it? The man of perdition, his image, that which is given to the beast, the intelligence, the creatures of darkness, I will destroy them with the brightness of my coming. Is that right? So then God uses a man. God gets behind the badger skin. God tries to let you know in part. He breaks it down to you a little at a time, putting a veil over it so that you can get it a little at a time. Look at the way it appeared through Old Roberts, and look at the way it appeared through A. E. Allen, and look at the way it appeared through other men like Balaam and different ones. Though they wasn't right with God like they ought to be. The Jewish rabbis wasn't right with God like they ought to be. But proportionally, a little at a time, through the years, down through the church ages, just a little bit at a time, God tried to break it down to give you a little bit, like a mother nursing a baby. A little baby food along to grow you up to where you could come into the full image of the stature of God. But a 30-fold, a 60-fold, a 100-fold of that great light, why do we resent it? Why do we come against it? Why don't we absorb the preciousness of it? Why don't we do it? Jesus stood on the mountain, and the Bible said his raiment was glistening. Like the light, it glistened. He appeared with Moses and Elijah. Like a great light, he stood there before them, and his raiment literally glistened. He didn't have to die to get like that. He didn't have to go by the way of the grave to get like that. All he did was use his faith and transport himself into that world by the transformation of his mind. And the glory of God was present, and they saw it as it was when Moses went up into the mountain. Now, what is it? The great light. Are you listening to me? I know that some of you are not. What is happening? The rapture is taking place like the vision of the other night. The thing, you don't understand spiritual things. I can't get you to listen to spiritual things. You don't understand spiritual things. You're not spiritual. You don't feed off of spiritual things. You don't get into the move of God, the realms of God, and the Spirit of God, and realize that God's taking a people out of this world. Like I said in the early part of my conversation, God's beckoning to the Spirit. Somebody said, well, I don't see anybody leaving, Brother Pike. I know you don't. You're blind. Can't see far off. Two in the field, one taken and one left. You can't see them, but they're gone. Somebody said, Brother Pike, everybody's here just like there was at the beginning. No, sir, they're not. You say, everybody that we started with in this church, Brother Pike, they are here just like they was when we started. They are not here as they was when we started. Many of them have already gone off and left you down there. And by God's Spirit and by faith, they've been transported into the other world. By the divine revelation of Christ, they've been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. And they're caught up into the heavenly places. And they're ahead with Christ and God. They've been raptured out. And you're sitting down there in the beastly realms of your intelligence and the world of darkness, and still out there in the night with the creatures of darkness. And God has gone off and left many of you. It's the rapture taking place. You look on the outward appearance. You think about the outward appearance. You think about natural things. Therefore, you don't have any heavenly vision. You don't have any heavenly understanding. You don't think in spirit. Jesus said to the Jews, first they said to him, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom? Why, he'd been restoring it ever since he'd come. Them blind Jews back then that day, and those people that were carnally minded, they came around the rabbi saying, now look at here, we've the authorities of the word. We know what's going on like the denominations of today. But they said, we want to ask you something. Are you planning to set up a kingdom here? Are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel at this time? Jesus knew that they were blind. He said, you blind leaders of the blind, all of you fall in the ditch. What is the ditch? The great whore. For the Bible said, the whore is a deep ditch. They that are whored of God shall fall therein. What is the deep ditch? It's the flesh. Come out of her, my people. It's the flesh. It's Eve. Is that right? Who is the great whore? It's your carnal reasoning, your religious activities, your way of life. That's what it is. Come out of your reasoning. Don't lean to your own understanding. Blind lead the blind. You got your religious doctrine and a dogma. All of you fall in the ditch, Jesus said. My kingdom, not of this world, or my servants would put up a warfare. But he said, I am a quickening spirit. I came from the Spirit. I go back to the Spirit. And all that's born to the Spirit belong to the Spirit. Father, make these one as we're one. One Spirit. Is that right? What happened? He cut them off. The Jews wondered. Somebody said, what do you mean he cut them off, Brother Pike? Well, they live and eat and drink just like everybody else. Where did he cut them off? Somebody said, well, he cut them off and brought the Gentiles in. Well, those Jews is as much in grace as the Gentiles is in grace. Well, what do you mean? He gave a day of grace free to all, let whosoever will. Is that right? Well, what do you mean he cut them off? He had been leading them. He had been babying them. He had been with them like a pastor to a church. That's what he meant. In other words, Israel, from now on, I'm going to be to you just like I'm going to be to anybody else. From now on, you're just a human being in my sight. You'll just have to do like everybody else. Find your way in. I'm not going to baby anymore. I'm not going to be with you anymore. I'm not going to make any special effort anymore to be among you. You're going to be just like everybody else from now on. Is that right? Now, I'll give a day of grace. All of you can stay alive. But it's time you cleaned up, Israel. It's time that you cleaned up, Gentiles. It's time you cleaned up, Japanese. It's time that everybody cleaned up. What I say to one, I say to all, Jesus said. So then there's a day of grace. There's a great light. There's something to happen. To them that sat in the regions of the shadows of death, to them great light has sprang up. God came to them here, the Gentiles sitting in the regions of the shadow of death. But God, the great light, through grace, has lighted an area to where we can have mercy from God. Now, what do you mean, Brother Pine? I mean that there is a change. Something is happening every day. God is not foolish. God is not sending preachers every day and every week and every year waiting for something to happen. People get it in their mind that what God's doing is just sent 500 preachers last year and 5,000 preachers the year before and 15,000 preachers this year. And they're just preaching and preaching and telling people, get ready, because something's going to happen. That's not it at all. That's not it at all. God sends a preacher to tell you to repent of your sins, because the kingdom of God is at hand. Not tomorrow, but right now. God is speaking to you right now. Repent of your sins and press your way into the kingdom of God, because God right now is translating people into the kingdom of God. The Jews said, what are you planning to do? There wasn't any way Jesus could talk to them because they were so blind. There's no way you can talk to a fleshly man, because everything you tell that fella, he's going to find fault with it. Everything you try to explain to him, he's going to find fault with it. I don't care how loving you are, how kind you are. That man will pick you to pieces. You rebuke a fool, he'll hate you. You tell him something, and that very individual will find fault with him. Come on, folks, I'm not blind. I know what's going on. I know what you're doing. I know how you go to the evangelists that come in here, and I know the things that you tell them. How do you know? Would you like to know that I know? When you go to them and you say, I don't know what to do over there. One day they tell me to shout. The next day they tell me don't shout. Next day they tell me to rejoice. The next day they tell me don't rejoice. You liar. You confusing son of the devil. Nobody's done that to you. You lie. And the Bible said lie not against the truth. It's your old carnal mind of deception. Trying to find somebody, whether it's the evangelist, whether it's the pastor, whether it's somebody to lie to. Children of darkness, the blind leading the blind, all of them fall in the ditch. Nobody's taught you that. God has taught you light and spoke to you concerning light. But you reject light and you rebel against light. And you go contrary to light. Because of that, you tear down and cause division, sorrow and heartaches, waiting, laying in wait. To whet your tongue is an arrow to shoot at the upright in heart. Isn't that right? Somebody say amen, because that's the way it is. When you're right in heart, you don't find fault with a pastor. You don't find fault. Look at some of them that's finding fault with us. They're about to die right now. Some of them is dead from it. You can't fight against God. Gamaliel had more sense than a lot of people that profess Christianity's God. He said, let me tell you men something. You're planning to go down here and meddle with these people. He said, you'd better wake up. Leave them alone. He said, if this thing's not of God, it's not going to go anywhere. You don't have to worry about it. Why do you want to dibble-daddle around with it? He said, if it's not God, it'll go out like a light. But he said, if it is God, woe be unto the man that puts his finger on it. Is that right? Keep your hands off of the Ark of the Covenant. Somebody said, well, it looks kind of shaky to me, Brother Pine. I've got to kind of help it along a little bit. Because I think maybe Brother Pike didn't mean what he said. Maybe that wasn't the way it was meant to be. Leave it alone. God said, David, don't mess with the Ark of the Covenant. You can't take the priesthood to you. God doesn't give that to you. He told the priest to bear the Ark of the Covenant. God told the preacher to take the word.
You're not to mess with it.
Somebody said, well, I think it's this way and that way. Leave it alone. I think it's this way and that way, and I'm going to tell brother so-and-so, leave it alone. Somebody said, well, I think I'm a preacher. The Bible said, no man taketh the priesthood to himself. It doesn't matter what you think. It's what God's word says about it. A great lie to spring up. I'm going to close in just a few minutes. There's a great light that sprang up. God is trying to help you. God wants to help you. God wants to lead you. God wants to direct you. But folks, you can't play around with God. You can't play around with God's people. You can't just do any way you want to do. There's a specific manner of God's way in life, in the earth. You got to go God's way. You got to go God's way. We bear the ark of God's covenant because God chose us to bear the ark of God's covenant. Paul said, God chose me to reveal Christ in my life. You can't preach this word unless you're called to preach it. You can't tell people what you think about it. You've got to tell them what God's word says about it. That's why there's so much error. That's why there's so many mistakes. That's why there's so much wrong. Everybody is telling everybody lies. Lies. Everybody is telling one another. Everybody is telling one another something is wrong. You understand? This thing, listen, folks, hold on for just a little bit now. Why do you want to do that? Why is it you don't want to walk in the light? There can't be but one reason. You're children of the darkness. Jesus said this. Jesus testified to this. Now listen now. You say, Brother Pike, what's going to be wrong with me in the day of judgment? Listen, and I'll tell you. Listen. Paul said, thou child of the devil. Is that right? Now listen. Trying to pervert the ways of God. You don't know how serious it is. All that man was trying to do was to turn the deputy away from the faith of God's word. And Paul said, thou child of the devil. Is that right? When you try to cause somebody to disbelieve something that's truth, and you feel that warning of God, and you walk over it because of rebellion and contrariness, then who are you? You are a child of the devil. Jesus said, you're the children of the devil. And he said, the lust of your father you'll do. He was a liar from the beginning. He was born of truth. Jesus said, you'd love me because I testify of truth. I witness of truth. Is that right? Then they said, well, what's wrong? He said, this is the condemnation. When you stand before God, what's going to condemn me? What's going to cut me off? What's going to keep me from eternal life? He said, this is the condemnation that's come into the world. What condemnation is it? That light has come. The great light has come. To them that sat in the regions of the shadow of death, great light has sprung up. Light has come into the world, Jesus said. There was darkness, the beast's mind. But he said, now light has come into the world. Understanding has come into the world. God once winked at the ignorance of man. But you can't be ignorant anymore. Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. You must repent. God commands all men to repent. Why? You can't say that you're in darkness. You can't say that you don't know. You can't say that you don't understand. For the law teaches that ignorance of the law is no excuse in our day. Is that right? Television, papers, publications, people say, I don't understand, but the law says there is no justification for that. Is that right? Your natural law says there is no justification for ignorance. Cannot be accepted in court as an excuse. He wants to let ignorance be there. Winked at it. What is the trouble today? Light is in the world. You understand, folks, in the evening time it should be light. You understand God has not cut the world off because they didn't understand it, didn't have any light. God couldn't do that. That was unfair. And he himself couldn't come down as the light. So he had to get behind the badger skin on the inside of a man's heart. And make a temple of the Holy Ghost and let God walk in the earth in the evening time among his creation. Is that right? Light has come into the world, children of God. Light has come into the world. You are children of light, not of darkness. John said, this light have we handled with our hands. Light has come into the world. Said we bear witness of that light, that lighteneth every man that cometh to God, or cometh to the Word, or cometh to truth. Light has come into the world, and the condemnation is. Now listen again. I'm trying to find a place to close. I want you to listen now. And God, what will you judge us for on that great day? God, what will be our condemnation when we stand before the judgment bar of God? Father, what will be the penalty? Why? How will you condemn us? Jesus said, and this shall be the condemnation. On the day of judgment, when you stand before the great bar of the throne of God, and this shall be the condemnation, for light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Neither do they come to the light, lest their deeds be made manifest. For that which is manifest is light. Neither will they come to the light. What happened to the rich young ruler? The rich young ruler said, Lord, all of these I've kept from my youth up. But Jesus could have said, son, you're standing in line in the presence of the light. For he said to the rich young ruler, in so many words, he said, light has come into the world. If you love your neighbor, take, sell all that you've got and share with your neighbor, because the light testifies that if you love your neighbor as yourself, you're not going to hold anything back when humanity is suffering. I was hungry, you didn't feed me. Is that right? Light has come into the world. The condemnation is that men know now, no excuse. But they still love darkness, their own carnal reasoning and way and understanding, because their deeds are evil. They can't get away from their human self and their human sensations and their human feelings and human senses. They just have to surrender to them because it's bigger than they are. They've not killed out the old man. But everyone that belongs to God has mortified the deeds of the flesh. Is that right? They've killed the old man and they're dead, having mortified the deeds of the flesh and killed them out. Is that right? All of them that belong to God has done that, because the deeds of the flesh is evil. Within the flesh there dwelleth no good thing. That's the way you swear to your own hurt. You love the Lord? I want you to stand with me. We come here to exhort you, to testify, to tell you about the good things of God, to tell you that light is coming to the world, this glorious light of the Son of God. Don't be contrary. Don't go contrary. Don't be the kind of person that every time the preacher goes to preach, he's brought into remembrance of your sins and what you've done over here, what you've done over yonder, and what you've done over there continually, all the time finding something that you've done because you won't surrender to God. As many as have been baptized into Christ to put on Christ, having died to the old man, having killed out the flesh, not alive in the flesh anymore. For if you're in the flesh, you can't please God. But if the flesh is dead, you're no longer in the flesh. Your spirit has been raptured out from the flesh, and the flesh is dead and buried in water baptism in his name. And the old man is passed and gone. Behold, you're a new creature in the resurrection, in the newness of life. And you're living in the Lord, and he no longer sees you, but he sees Christ. Not you living, but the Lord. The life you now live, you live by the Son of God. You're no longer of the flesh, you're of the spirit. For that which is spirit is persecuted by that which is the bond's child, which is the flesh. The spirit man is always persecuted by the carnal mind, the intellectual concept, and the evil spirit that works through the weakness of the flesh. Is that right? Another law in my members warned against the law of my mind. Is that right? Said, I can't get my old man to perform it. I have a will. In here, Paul said, I have a will and a desire. But how to find a performance, I find not. Somebody said, that excuses me. You know, a lot of people in denominational churches say predestination, that excuses me. But he goes on a little further and he says, as you've had a will, have a performance. It don't make any difference where you can find out how to perform it or not. Believe in Christ and overcome it anyway. Bring every thought into subjection, and as you've had a will, have a performance, he said. Do it anyway. Is that right? Don't you love the Lord? I said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Being strengthened by the power of the might of the inner man, I can and I will. Having yielded your members to the weakness of the flesh, now yield them as sons and daughters unto God. Let's sing a little chorus together. I love you. I'm not hollering at you. I'm not condemning you. I'm just trying to do like I say so many times. And Brother Branham said, nail the board on so the wind don't get it. Give the more earnest things, have you heard, lest you let them slip. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. Don't go by your feelings and say, well, I feel God as well as you feel him, Brother Pike. That don't have anything to do with it. Somebody said, but I feel God's Spirit. The Bible said God pours out his Spirit upon all flesh. That don't have anything to do with it. Said, I speak in tongues and prophesy. That don't have anything to do with it. He said, your sons and daughters would prophesy. He even said, oh, my servants and my handmaids, and the servant abideth not in the house forever. Is that right? Even your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Is that right? While there's books that you can buy where people that live for the devil have sat at the table and had visions. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, you don't really believe that. Yes, I do believe it. Balaam loved the wages of unrighteousness, but he could have a vision. How many of you know that? So that don't prove nothing. But what does prove something? If the word manifests itself in your life and you walk according to the way he walked, the child is known by his doings. Is that right? When your nature causes you to overcome, leads you into all truth and righteousness, and you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ to the fullness of the stature of the perfect man. Is that right? Jesus said to the rich young ruler, if thou would be perfect, as many as be perfect shall be as their master, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Is that right? How many of you understand what I'm saying? So then, we've got a challenge. We've got something to do. You're known by your nature, and the tree bears fruit according to its nature. If you're bearing fruits of righteousness, then he that is righteous even as he is righteous. Anything else, it doesn't mean a thing. It doesn't mean a thing. Are you listening? Do you care? Are you paying any attention? Give the more earnest heed. Take heed how you hear. Some of you don't take heed how you hear. I say something and your mind's on a baby crying. Your mind's on somebody wandering around. Your mind's on somebody else. You're thinking on something else. You don't take heed how you hear. You don't half know what I say. That's why you go and twist things up and tell the things you say. It's because you don't pay enough attention to what I say. Take heed how that you hear. And then take heed to what you've heard. Lest you let it slip when it's needed, you won't have it, and you'll say something else. I love you. I want to help you. But the words I speak to you, the same shall judge you in the last day. Something is taking place, friend. The Jews said, will you at this time, the law and the prophets were till John, since that time the kingdom has been preached, Philip preached the name of Jesus, the kingdom of God. Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus, translated in the kingdom of God. It's at hand. It's at hand. Do you want it? As many have been baptized into him, he put him on. You love the Lord? Okay, let's sing this little chorus together. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Sing it with me. Every hour I need thee, I need thee now, my Savior. Oh, how I
want you to pray. A lot of things tonight I wanted to bring out concerning some current events that you need to know. But I refrain from it because you... Jesus said, could thou not watch with me 1 hour while you get sleepy, drowsy, drifting away because of a little discomfort. You trudge through the cold and the heat for the things of the world, the inconvenience for the things of the world. But couldst thou not watch with me 1 hour for the things of God? We do need Him. We need Him. I just heard how that Ford and some of the leaders are striving to pass a law, got a paper clipping on it, to do away with the monetary system. You remember all of us talking about the money being taken away and it wouldn't be nothing but numbers used. The paper stated, Brother McCaskill, speaking of the computer, said the electronic monster is taking over everything, including bartending and serving wine, whiskey, whatever is serving it. Don't even have to go to the bar anymore to mash a button or anything. It serves you. It's taking over. Now, what is it that's happening? The electronic monster. You understand what I'm saying? It's taking over. They said that they are trying to pass a law. Some of you worried about credit. I told some of you, I said credit is the worst thing you could get. He is bars debtor to the lender. But it stated that they were trying to do away with the monetary system, that they might turn everything into credit. Now listen. Demons is at the head of the credit system. The world loveth its own. That they might cause everybody to buy on credit. You don't have to worry about getting credit. We made the statement that it would come to that, and then they would convert it over. When they did that, they would convert it over after they got the sovereignty of the rights of the people by flattery, extending them credit, making them think them that never has been a nothing, said you are nobody, come on now, be a somebody. Walk around and buy now, you got credit. You understand what I'm saying? Putting in bondage. Why you never drove a new car, you never had a new home, now you can have it. Then when they get control of you, what takes place? Once they've got control of you, there you are. Once they get control of you through credit, said that everybody was going to come under the credit system. Now, why do they want to do that? Are you listening good? Are you taking heed how you hear? A lot of things I wanted to bring out tonight, but I couldn't because you can't watch with me, some of you. You grow weak. Why do they want a credit system? Because on a monetary system, they can't work it. Long as you give them your money, that won't do any good. It's got to be a credit system, the way they can charge you, something they can charge to you to run a number system. They've learned already that the digit 666 will be the very ideal number that will make them be able to account for anything, any place, anywhere in the world. That's the three digits they need. God made it like that so it would be the number of man. Isn't that right? So it would work out like that to confirm His word. Isn't that right? So then, to get you under the credit system, it stated that inasmuch as it was going to happen, that they were contemplating a laser beam to put the number in, I said 30 billionths of a second without feeling, killing the pigment, no hurt, no injury, considering putting a number there for their purpose. I don't want it in my head, do you? I've got His seal in my forehead. I've got His name in my forehead. I'm sealed up here in my spirit with the name Jesus. I'm sealed in my heart. They'll get it in their head. God strikes the serpent in the head, don't He? So then the monetary system is about to be eradicated. The electronic monster is taking over. The credit system is coming in. That everything they stated from the banks, they stated it out very plainly. Said the banks will be under it, the markets will be under it, and all of these other things would be under it. And everyone would come under that system. They're already beginning to work it that way. That means it's late, friend. Somebody said, well, I thought the rapture had to take place. I keep telling you over and over. The kingdom of God is here. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. And men are pressing their way into the kingdom. For God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. And we are hid with Christ in God. And He's chosen us out of this world. And we are now hid with Christ in God in the heavenly places. By faith, He has done it. Jesus proved it standing on the mountain. A living human being, but He was with Moses and Elijah that had gone on into the glory world. He just kind of unveiled Himself for a few minutes to let you know where He was. Everyone that's a Christian is in that same place. God just isn't showing them off yet, but they're in that same place with Moses and Elijah. Hid with Christ in God. God is the Spirit, hid in the Spirit. My spirit is hid in His spirit. How do you know that's true? I'm not making believe. I'm not telling a fairy tale. My spirit, to be absent from the body is to be present with God or with Christ. Is that right? My body's dead, buried. Death, the spirit goes back to God who gave it. I'm dead with the body of Jesus. I've been baptized. I've been buried. My spirit went off to heaven with Christ Jesus. That's where Moses and Elijah is. How do you know that's true? See, you're not spiritual. You don't understand. You can't see what's happening because somebody's going by their feelings. Say, I don't feel good. I feel sick. I can't enjoy that. If I was in heaven, I'd feel good. Jesus, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief, proved He was in heaven, didn't He? Went up there, His raiment glistening, walked right back down and took the nails. Brother Ernie says, hello. Are you listening to me? It's true, Christian friend. A lot of things we could say. I'm going to say this and try to close. Abernathy, the leader of the black man, made a statement. I've got the paper, the places where he spoke it. Said, this coming election, the black man will not support either major party, whether Democrat our Republican, said, we will put a black man or a black woman in the office of vice president. Come on, folks. Did I say that the black man would take over the government? Did I say it would be a short-lived kingdom? Did I say that it would move to Atlanta, Georgia by the leadership of what the Lord had made me to understand? Washington denotes in Revelation the white man's kingdom, which represents light. I don't say this to be offensive, because I speak of every generation, every race, according to their type and shadow. The light of the Gentiles go out. Gross darkness covers the people. The black man typifies darkness. In Washington, when the light goes out up there, that means that the black man will shift the government from Washington to Atlanta, Georgia, because Washington will fall. Because New York is without money, and New York is what made Washington sparkle. Are you listening to me? They will fall, but Atlanta, Georgia will not fall. You say, why? Because the foreign nations of the black man and the Arabs
will hold up Atlanta, Georgia through foreign trade and the foreign nations of China and different ones will invest in Atlanta, Georgia. They're already doing it. Atlanta, Georgia has become the city of the king. Are you listening? The king baseball player is in Atlanta, Georgia. Come on now. Who is he? He's a black man. Martin Luther King. Who is he? He's a black man. That's his home. The mayor of Atlanta, Georgia, they called him the Messiah. Are you listening? Don't get offended. Listen, because we're at the close of the evening time. Listen now. I love you. There's only one black person here that I know of that knows this revelation. And I don't say this to be offensive, but that's Johnny. Because Johnny understands. Johnny has got the love of God. He understands. He's got into the revelation. He doesn't take offense. He knows what it means. He knows how it's meant. And it's beautiful when you understand it. Is that right, Johnny? It's beautiful. He's in a position to do something that no other black man in the world is in the position to do. No other one. I don't say that to lift him up. But they called him the Messiah. What is it, folks? It shows the beast regime coming in. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you're calling the black man beast? No. I'm saying that the regime of darkness typifies the beast because it's going to be a cruel regime. Every person that rejects God is not typical, but they are the beast. Whether it be white man, whether it be Japanese, whether it be Israelites, that is Jews or whatever, they are the beast. The black man only typifies the beast. But let me tell you something, and I'm speaking of those that are without, that's coming into this kingdom. Black power is the one I'm speaking of. But the man that's on the outside is the beast. Every man in his person carries a twofold meaning. You follow me? In the outside, he represents one thing. In the inside, he represents another. Like I speak of Brother Taylor representing death. The Chinese represent the dragon. Are you listening? Everybody represents something. Israel represented the Antichrist and sin, the fall. Are you listening? But listen, Atlanta, Georgia is the place of the king. Why is Atlanta, Georgia like that? God let Kissinger call the union of the foreign nations to focus the light on Atlanta, to get them to start investing there. The king, the biggest motel. Have you got time to listen just a minute? Just sit down for just a moment, please. Just for a few moments. Atlanta, Georgia's got the biggest hotel, the tallest in the world as far as we know. Going back to the king, building the Tower of Babel. Are you listening? Why is it called the king? Did you know that their emblem, their sign, as you come into Atlanta, Georgia, is a big king cobra? How do you know that? It's the city of the king. Stone Mountain, all that has to do with it, a lot we can't go into. Some of this is on the tape that Bill calls the first time. But listen, when men like Abernathy, whether black or whether white, gets enough control by the hollis of any people, whether it's Japanese or German or Caucasian or Negro or whatever it might be, that he can speak up and say, we won't do this and we will do that, that's dictatorship. That's Hitler. That's death. That's sorrow. He'll lead his people to slaughter. Because if he can put the president in, he can take him out. And the Bible said the beast, who can make war against him? He has his way. He putteth up one and taketh down another. The Bible said Nebuchadnezzar kept alive whom he willed, and whom he would slay, he slew. Just a few years ago, we had a white man that rose up that was a union leader. You remember him. A white man. He got control of the poor people by promising them prosperity. Got them into a union. The worst thing that ever happened to the white man. Are you listening? Told them you need more money. They're making slaves out of you. Isn't that the same old devil that's talking to the black man? I remember it. I come up in it. I know what I'm speaking of. When we were working, Brother McCaskill, and making just a little bit of money. But this feller said, I know how to do it. Form a union, use force. Since when has God ever used force to establish his kingdom? God is love. Said, you follow me. So the people did, and they joined the union. And they paid some dues that made him rich. By the time he got a few of your pennies and my pennies and their pennies, he was rich. Not only rich, but powerful, because he had control of the man that was enslaved. Isn't that the same thing that they're doing to the black man? You're underprivileged. That same old demon, that same old devil that said to the white man, you're underprivileged. Come on, we're going to help you. And the white man bit it line, hook, and sinker. And he hope us all right. The union hope us all right. They got us a raise. They got the man a raise, and then they raised the dues. They got us a raise when we had a good job, enjoyed our job, worked 3 hours out of 8 hours, considering the way we work now. I remember when it was enjoyable to work in the mills. That's right, I could doff around and get home 3 hours. Sometimes are about that much out of 8 hours because I didn't do no more work than that. I could doff 45 minutes, sit out under the tree and rest 30 minutes, and then the head doffer would call us in all day long. We did that. Doff a little and go out and fellowship with the fellers. Had a good time. Didn't mind getting up going to work. It was a great lie. Buy a pair of shoes for 75 cents. Now they're $75. Are you listening? He done a great thing for us, didn't he? When he raised the wages, they put 10 times 10 the work on us that we had before. Now the white man is a slave to tribute. Got him now to where he's in the factories out there, and what does he do? By listening to the voice of the devil through the white man that Satan raised up there. Listen to him, and what did he do? He enslaved them by putting them on an assembly line till they are going crazy and filling up the insane asylums. Go to work in the morning, working long hours like they did down in Egypt, making brick for the devil. He goes crazy doing the same thing over and over and can't stop. Put him on a clock to punch a ticket. Are you listening? He done a great thing for us, didn't he? Now then somebody said, boy, I'm striking it rich. I'll make $175 a week, but it takes $300 to live. Come on, folks. Used to, the man could go out, buy him a home, a little home out in the country, and buy him 50 acres of ground, 150 acres of ground. Not only buy it, but pay for it, and pretty near like he wanted to. Have to raise his crop and have something. But now, since they raised it, he buys a little old brick home that's not much bigger than a chicken coop, as we would say. His family's hemmed up in it, ain't got enough acreage to walk around on without getting on his neighbor's land. $35,000 and $45,000 and $50,000, and he has to spend the rest of his life trying to pay a little on it. He hopeless, didn't he? The same devilish evil power that's taking advantage of the black man, and the black man's not wise enough to see it. Falling into the same devilish trap that the white man fell into. Go on, black folks. This is your day. Somebody said, bless God, this is our day. The black man's going to rule. Go ahead and rule. They did. They did. And God spewed them out of his mouth. You were better off when you was back yonder, not fussing about equality and all of this jumbled up mess. Back there, when Abraham Lincoln fought and gave you your rights to leave, not a black man giving it to you, but a white man God raised up to give it to you. That was your rights. Martin Luther King didn't give you your rights. Come on, black folks. I said, I can prove, according to the law and according to history, Martin Luther King did not give you your rights. Abe Lincoln fought for your rights. And the nation of the white man fought for your rights. And he's the one that spilt his blood and set you free. But the devil has prepared a neat little trap to lead you into death and into the wrath of God. That's what happened to you. All Martin Luther King did was come and revive in your mind what Abraham Lincoln had provided for you. And I got respect for you because Abe Lincoln represented Father Abraham, and those that followed him represented the Jews. But this power, black power that's coming up now, represents Satan and the devil, and everyone that follows him represents the beast. Now, what is it? You're going to have your day. You're going to get your rights. You're going to be able to do what you want to. But it's the worst mistake you ever made. Hitler led them to the slaughter. The Japanese raised up, and their leader said, "We're the super race. Bum Pearl Harbor. We're supposed to rule the world." And so God gave them their day, and they choked to death off of it. Hasn't it been that way every other place? Russia's got her day. The white man's got his day. The black man's got his day. The yellow man's got his day. The red man's got his day. But folks, I want to tell you, there is one man, and that's Jesus. And there is one super race, that's the sons and daughters of God. There is one people that shall rise up and take the kingdom. And it won't be a black race, and it won't be a white race, and it won't be a yellow race. It'll be God and God's race and God's people. And everyone that belongs to it will neither be black nor white nor yellow nor anything else, but we will be as the angels of God, because in God there's neither Greek nor Jew, nor black nor white nor yellow nor nothing else. You understand what I'm saying, folks? Don't be a fool, black man. The white man has been a fool. Don't be a fool, though I know that you're going to be. I know that you're going to be. Because God is leading you to the slaughter just like he led the white man to the slaughter. I say this again. The people that picked the cotton out in the fields, which was the black man and the white man alike. Somebody said the black man did it. Don't lie. I've picked cotton. I've drugged the old sack. I've been down on my knees. Black man, you're not the only one that done it. Don't lie like Abernathy and some of them did when they said the black man built all these buildings and all of these things and the white man owes him money because he's the one that's slave. You are a liar. I worked myself on the buildings. I know other men that worked in the coal on the buildings. And I know a lot of black men that wasn't doing anything. I know a lot of white men that fought over yonder in the foreign fields and shed their blood when the black man didn't go to war. Come on, folks. Don't let the devil lie to you. Don't let him lie to you and deceive you. Everybody has helped build the world. Everybody has suffered. Everybody has gone through it. God is no respecter person. You've been through no more than anybody else has been through. The Hebrew children were thrown into the fire. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. They were mutilated down in Egypt. It isn't the white man that persecuted you. I got proof of it right here. You want to read this? It just come out. The witch doctors over yonder with their clans took one of your own black men, killed him because he tried to testify of God, took the sword and run it through the wife, and the wife struggled with the little babies to get through to the white man and to the law to protect her from the black man. Come on, folks. Wake up. The devil is the devil. If he's in a black body, he's the devil. If he's in a white body, he's the devil. If he's in a yellow body, he's the devil wherever he is. he's in an Indian or whatnot. Don't go to getting melancholy and let somebody like Abernathy and others tie you up and rob you and kill you and destroy you. Wake up and listen to the truth. Don't pity yourself till you go down to the grave. The poor man pitied himself, saying, "The rich man's enslaved us." I've heard him say it. I've heard the poor man, I'm talking about the white man, I've worked by him. He said, "The rich man has enslaved us and we're slaves to him." But let me tell you something. Back, you know, when my old dad worked in a cotton mill, my old dad didn't have to work too hard. We had a living. God took care of us. The man that owned the cotton mill was a good man. He worked us. We got along all right. But then they gave a raise. The little old mill house that we lived in that they didn't charge us any rent for, all of a sudden the man started charging rent for it. All of a sudden they piled more work on us. All of a sudden we had more money, but we was paying out more money. And the good things the good man had done for us, he couldn't do no more, because the people buying his products out there didn't give him that much money. The devil's cunning. Always kill people through self-pity. Always that people feel underprivileged. I get up here and preach to you and the congregation feels underprivileged. The old Brother Pine, he's abusing us. The devil's got the same old tale. Tell your wife to straighten up. Tell your wife to do right. Tell her she's supposed to honor you and obey you. You know what she does? You cruel husband. Tell the children they got to toe the line and do right. I'm underprivileged. I'm going to leave home. Stick a silver spoon in their mouth. Feed them everything that they could want. Then they'll rise up and spit in your face and get melancholy. Say, "Bless God, I don't like this house. I'm leaving home." Don't tell me it ain't true. I done been through it. I know it's true. Back yonder when the daddy sent them out to the fields and let them work and let them do something out there, folks, we got along all right. When the black boys and the white boys was back there fellowshipping, somebody said, "Well, bless God, Martin Luther King and Abernathy and the others made us fellowship. They ain't caused nothing but a stink." I fellowshipped a black man when I was a boy out on the farm. We worked together. He got by with a whole lot less than I did. Somebody said, "Yeah, but all the work was on him." No. I can tell you read from the wrong book. I was the one that done the work or got the leather where it hurt the most. The black man got by with it. I know that he got by with it because I was there when he got by with it. Dad would come out and say to the black feller, or granddaddy, "How they doing, Bo?" "I'm keeping them going." Come on, folks. Everybody's been through it. Everybody's carrying the cross. Everybody's carrying the load. But God's got to give the black man his day. God's got to raise him up. God's got to put him in the government. God's got to let him shine so that he won't feel underprivileged. Because if God doesn't let him shine when he goes before the judgment, God, the black man will say, "That old white man." The yellow man will say, "That old Indian." The Indian will say, "That old German." But let him shine. Pick him up. Give them their place. And then when they stand before the judgment of God, God will say, "You rode in the Cadillacs." As the saying is, "You eat hound the hog," as the oil says. You had the very best out there. Now tell me why that you didn't serve me and why you've done the evil, low down, ungodly things that you did. Black man, white man, red man, yellow man, thou art without excuse. I didn't underprivilege you. I didn't underprivilege anybody. I gave you your day. Is that right? Come on, folks. That's the way it is. They say, tell it like it is. That's the way it is. We're going to have a black man for a vice president. That's fine. I have no objections. Some black men would make a whole lot better president than some of the white ones would. I've got no objections. I have no disagreement with Martin Luther. But I say this, that I praise Martin Luther King in this. His motto was no violence. It wasn't force. He tried to fight for the rights of the black man according to the law to give him an equality according to that which had been appropriated for him by Abraham Lincoln's stride and what the law has set up for him. He found it in the law. He found his rights. When you find it in the book, you can claim it. But if you can't find it in the book, don't go trying to make it your way. Don't use a dictatorship. Don't use a force. Don't go to try to taking people's sovereignty away from them and people's right. God will tear you into pieces. Don't matter what kind of man you are. Some of you fellas that try to rule over your wives, you go to trying to live kind of good and she humbles her heart and submits herself to you and she wants to enslave herself to you because she loves you and she wants to honor you as a man of God. Then you get in a backslidden condition and become as cruel as a devil. You still want to usurp authority over. Knock her around and tell her to shut up. You're the head. You're not the head. You're a devil. Come on, folks. Let me tell you something. I have no prejudice. I have no favorites. I speak as an oracle of God to all men because I love all men. Nobody is little to me and nobody's big to me. God made you human beings. God lives in you, whether you're black or white or red or whatnot. But folks, let me tell you something. Don't let the devil play on your sympathy. Don't let him do that. You're headed for heartaches and you're headed for sorrow. And you're headed for trouble. Now you watch what I'm telling you. The white man has stooped until he is rotten. I'm going to close in just a little bit, but listen. He stooped until he stinks in the sight of the living God. He literally stinks in the sight of God. He's rotten, twice dead and plucked up by the roots. And the black man is headed for the same sloppy mess. Why don't you seek God? Whether you're white, whether you're an Indian, whatever you are, why don't you wake up and get away from the world and seek God? Wake up, folks. It's the midnight hour. It's the midnight cry. God's going to bump black heads and white heads and yellow heads and red heads until the brains are strewn on the street. Said, beware you that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. Wake up and get with God and join ranks with God and let's take the kingdom for God and get away from that stuff out there. Tell your people the truth, black man. Black woman, tell them the truth so that you won't have their blood on your hand where they won't go to their death. Don't you get that racial prejudice in your heart and die and go to hell and lead your people to slaughter? Have enough love and understanding to stay away from it. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you're just speaking on the behalf of the white man because you want the white man to keep ruling. Don't be silly. If I'd have felt that way, I'd have never told you that the black man was going to take over the government. I'd have told you that you was crazy that we white folks was going to keep it. I'd have never encouraged you into believing anything. I tell you the truth that the black man will rule. But it's the worst mistake he ever made, just like the white man. God's supposed to rule. When Washington was in there, God ruled. Old brother Abe Lincoln was in there, God ruled. When we had God-fearing men, God ruled. But when man rules, it's terrible. It don't make any difference whether you have a white president or a black president. All of them's got rotten. It don't make no difference. Put your white ones up there. Put your black ones up there. Put your Chinese up there. Put whoever you want to up there. But they're all Antichrist. And the devil's going to take control of them and destroy all of you. Come on, folks. If I'm a liar, tell me to shut up. Have a backbone. Stand up. Say, shut up. But if it's the truth and you know it's the truth and you know it's God trying to warn you and tell you the truth, say, amen, Brother Pike. Some of you can't. You know why? Too much racial prejudice. You can't do it. You're bound by the devil. You're bound by your feelings. You're bound by your people. You're bound by your flock. I preach to you tonight, forsake sister, forsake brother, forsake wife, forsake your race, and get with God. It's the only way God will have you. The World Congress building in Atlanta. Things is gone, folks. Everything is gone. Wake up. I love you, black man. I love you. I wouldn't receive $1,200 to send
Bibles into Africa to the black man if I hadn't loved him. I have nothing to gain by taking my $1,200 that I could keep, ride in a big fine car and line my pocketbook. I have nothing to gain by doing that and sending Bibles to Africa. I love them. I want them to know God's word. I want them to know the truth. But I'm going to tell you the truth, black man. It might not sound what like Abernathy says it. It might not sound like somebody else says it. But I'm going to tell you the way God looks at it and the way God says it. If I am not telling you the truth, you will see. But if I am telling you the truth, woe be unto you. Somebody said, how do I know that you're telling the truth? Wait and see if I'm telling you the truth. Watch and see if it happens the way Brother Pike says it. If it does happen the way I said, then you're in trouble. You that have ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Come unto the shepherd. Come unto the shepherd. All you that labor and are heavy laden, all races, I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. You say, Brother Pike, are you saying that you're Jesus? I had a vision where I was Jesus up in the heavens saying, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I'm not telling you that I'm Jesus. I'm telling you I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, standing in his stead, telling you to be reconciled unto God, because heartaches and sorrows and woes is coming. I love you. You're my creation, God said. I made you for my glory. It doesn't matter what race you are, what color you are. You're mine. You belong to me. I love you. I made you. I want you. I don't want you destroyed. I don't have to pour out my wrath on you and destroy you, do away with you. I want you to come unto me if you labor. I'll give you rest. I'll make you preeminent. I'll raise you up. I'll give you the desires of your heart. I'll make everything work for you and make your enemies kneel at your feet. Know that I've loved you. I want to help you. Chinaman, come unto me. Indian, come unto me. Russian, whoever you are. An Arab, come unto me. I love you all. I want to help you. That's what Jesus says. But that's not what your leaders say. They say, come unto me. I'll show you how to do it. We'll take this thing over. Don't be foolish, folks. Don't be foolish. If a man can put a president in, he can take a president out. I'm going to say this in closing. There's a lot more I'd like to say. Today we got a man by the name of Ford up there. We've got the same sloppy mess that you're fixing to jump headlong into. They're already in the hog pens and can't figure out how to get out of it. And you're going to jump into it. Listen to me, black man. Listen to me. I speak unto you as the oracle of God. Sure. Ford made the statement that I'm going to run a black man. That's all right. That's good. That's fine. Some of them are great, wonderful men of intelligence, loving, sweet, kind, like Brother Hanson. Sweet, loving, kind. I met him the other night. Intelligent. The skin pigment means nothing. God's fashioned all men's heart alike. People are not a bunch of dummies. We white fellas think everybody else is devils and dummies. Everybody else thinks we're devils and dummies. The Jew says, you're a bunch of dogs. We're the people. Gentiles are dogs. Everybody calls everybody else something except what they ought to call them. Sure, Ford wants to get the black man in there. But why is he doing it? Why? Because he's in the hog pen. He knows that Russia and China and the different nations is fixing to blow this place to pieces. And he knows it means his hide. That's what it is. Come on, black man. Be the lamb led to the slaughter and let the goats lead you in and jump the fence. They're in the hog pens and they're trying to get out. And because they can't get out, they're going to pull you in the hog pen. And then when they get you in the hog pen, they're going to jump out. And then what's going to happen? Russia is going to blow you all to pieces. Kill everyone that's in leadership. Somebody say, well, Brother Pike, they'll kill everybody. No, they won't. They don't work like that. They didn't do it in Vietnam. They did have enough decency to make them put on some clothes and do away with the miniskirts. God let them rule long enough to get in there and cause some decency and some morals to come and close down the casinos and everything else. America's got rotten. God has to raise up our enemy to make her put on clothes. Come on, folks. So you're taking too long, Brother Pike. I'm going to close. Just bear with me just a little bit. Now, what is it? They said, tell it like it is. That's the way it is. That's the way the Bible tells it. They're trying to jump out, and you jump in. When countries take over, they kill people who are in leadership. That's the ones they kill, so that they can get the people. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Isn't that right? So then, it's a mess. We've got a leader up there now, and I'm not speaking evil of dignitaries. There's Ford up there. What did he do? He stood up and made his boast, said, nobody didn't put me in, cursed, snorted around, said, nobody can take me out. What is it? The government's gone down the drain. I said a king would come in. Everything would go out. What is it, folks? Washington, a symbol of the truth, is going out. It's going out. I said, they tried to bum the White House. How many times have they tried it since then? I said, when me and Betty went to the White House, I said, when we leave, I said, from this time on, there'll be a change in the galaxies. There'll be a change in religion. There'll be a change in the earth and everything that's in the earth as it come to pass that way. Been a radical change. Everything has changed over. Even the galaxies lining up for 80, and they said it's going to destroy the world. I say again, we've already got a mess. Why stir it anymore? The black man said, well, I don't want to be under the leadership of the white man. I don't blame you. I don't either. I don't fall out with you at all. I don't either. I don't want to be under his leadership more than I do under your leadership. Or the red man's leadership, or the yellow man's leadership, or any other man's leadership. I want to be under God's leadership. The world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. No man shall save them in that day, but the sons of God shall come forth with the mind of Christ. And these men who are called gods shall correct the order of the earth. They shall love the people, not according to race, but all of them. And shall set up the kingdom of God and bring in the great millennium and bring the people to everything their heart can wish for. And give them the things that God wanted them to have from the foundation of the world. Then we'll all rejoice together. There won't have to be a Martin Luther King to make people fellowship. There won't have to be an Abe Lincoln. There won't have to be some great fella over in Germany to rise up like Hitler. To make a super race, we'll all be the super race. All of us will love one another. There won't be any man ruling over the woman. In heaven, they're all as the angels. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not against you, whatever race you are, whatever creed you are, whatever nationality you are. I'm not against you, folks. A black president, that's good. Somebody said, if we had a black president, we'd be ruined. No more than you already ruined. You got a Congress up there. If he brings something up that isn't right, Congress will stop it. But folks, let me tell you something. That isn't going to work. No president isn't going to work. Because they're going to change it to Atlanta, Georgia. It's going to become a dictatorship. It's going to be controlled by the Arab powers of the bond's child out of Egypt. And the man that goeth down to Egypt for his help is in trouble with God. He's leaning on a broke staff. It's going to go over there. Watch and see. That's why the Arab leader came to New York to get what he could over there. But he couldn't get it because in New York, and I'm going to say this in close, in New York he couldn't get it over there because the Jews had taken over and they wouldn't accept it. They recognize him as the bond's child. Is that right? But they're still Abraham's children. Come on. I'm just talking about types and shadows now. Allegories. But they wouldn't do it. What is it? If they came from the eastern part of the United States and went to the western part,
Because of gold, if gold represents faith, then now it's hypocritical or fool's gold, no more good. Then they're leaving there to come back to the east. Because coming from the eastern world to the western world, the woman's part going out, now going back to the eastern world, they've got to be intercepted between the western world and the eastern world. They've got to be intercepted by the Roman Catholic powers or the Antichrist power, which is the bonds child, which will happen in the third dimension coming from the west here in the United States, going back to the eastern United States. It'll be caught by Atlanta, Georgia. They're bringing the tribulation period. Then as she jumps back over to the Jew, things will begin to straighten out. New York's broke, but the Jew ain't broke. That's why New York's broke. The Jews got it. There's nothing more Jews in New York than there is in Palestine. Now, they ain't broke. New York's broke. You understand what I'm saying? They're getting ready to go back to the Holy Land. We're picking up the gold, faith, the real faith. Now it's become fool's gold. We done packed it away. We're getting ready to go back to our homeland. You understand what I'm saying, folks? Something's happening. Something's happening. Let them have it. The white man has stole, robbed, killed, took everything. Go on, black man, and jump into the barrel. Ain't nothing in there. Nothing but heartaches and sorrows. Demons and devils. Hippies. That's all. You love the Lord? I love you. God bless you. If you can be a president, be a president. If you can be a senator, be a senator. If you can be whatever you want to be whatever you want to be. But let me tell you something. Don't forget God is watching you. Do it God's way. Do it for Christ's sake. Don't be undermining. Don't do it with force. Try to establish the law. Try to hold up the law. Try to salvage what good there is in the law and bring back the government into the hands of the people to where the people can decide who the president is. Let them decide it. If it's black or white or whatever, you vote him in. Don't let nobody put nobody in by force. We already got one up there like that now. We've had the Watergate system. We've been made the stink of the nations. I'm telling you the truth. Paul said, I tell you the truth. I become your enemy. But it's the truth. Let's stand together. Say you're hard, Brother Pike. No, I'm not. I'm just nailing the board on so the wind don't get it. When somebody comes and tells you another story, say, let me tell you something. That old bald-headed preacher we got over yonder has done told me the truth about this thing. He might be bald-headed and fat and out of proportion and don't look like a movie star, but it's one thing about it. He might be rude in speech, but he's not in knowledge. He knows a little something about what's going on because Jesus told me. Don't let him sugarcoat it. Don't let him talk you into something that's not right. I love you. You're my children. Whether you're black, whether you're white or not, you're my children, my darling children. I love you. John said, my little children, I write unto you that you sin not. You're my children. You're precious to me. I'll go to fight for you. I'll go to battle for you. But be wise and wake up.